KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
That was Joanne Rand with Woodstock. You're listening to 104.3 and 104.7 KHUM. Cutting, Eureka, Arcata, and streaming to the world over at khum.com. It is noon on a Wednesday, and that means it's time for Coastal Currents. And I have my co-host with me here, Annie Maher.
Hi, everybody.
And we also are super pleased to go ahead and have Greg King of the Siskiyou Land Conservancy. Sorry, took a second. We've been talking for like the last 15 minutes. But yeah, Greg King from the Siskiyou Land Conservancy in here to talk about that. And then also a benefit, which is happening on Saturday, that Joanne Rand is actually going to be performing at over at the Arcata Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thanks. Great to be back again.
It's such a gorgeous day out there, isn't it?
It's perfect. Yeah, the perfect Humboldt spring, finally.
Yeah, it feels really nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're executive director, right, for the Siskiyou Land Conservancy?
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a bit about the organization and your role there?
Right. Well, we founded in 2004 to be a land trust. I wanted to found a land trust specifically to conduct more what I would call cooperative environmental activism. I'd been in the headbutting realm for a couple of decades by then, and we, the founders and I, particularly Ken Miller, who's one of our directors, understood that one of the most powerful ways to bring environmental equality into focus and then into reality and to maintain it is to have cooperation of landowners. I mean, we're in a private property realm, and that's where it's at. So I always give a nod to our friends at North Coast Regional Land Trust that mm-hmm. do this so well out in the big branches. But what wasn't being fulfilled in 04 was land trusts that could take property and conservation easements that were smaller than the 5,000-acre ranches that they were mm-hmm. dealing with quite well, but it wasn't really happening. So in 04, we immediately purchased 80 acres of rare plant habitat on the North Fork of the Smith River, which is surrounded by the Smith River National Recreation Area and is pristine, but it was in private hands and it was unprotected. So we raised the money for that, and we also that year protected 148 acres on the South Fork Smith River with a conservation easement. And that property we've been managing ever since in cooperation with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, the U.S. government entity providing grants and guides for forest restoration and stream restoration on that property. We also have four other properties we protect, almost 1,000 acres total, through fee title ownership and conservation easements.
Are most of them in that Smith River region?
No, one is here in Humboldt County.
Oh, okay.
It's a second growth redwood forest habitat, old
nice.
Forest that connects to ancient redwood islands down near Redway. So it's adjacent to both of them, and there was no habitat connectivity between Whitmore Grove and Stable Slopes
right.
there in Redway. And so we got an easement for that land in between. And so nothing can happen there except for restoration forestry, which is a wonderful thing that we're very excited about. And in Mendocino County, we protect a 160-acre ranch that could have been subdivided into about 15 properties. And as we know, with the impacts of cannabis production out there in that realm above Elk and the Meadows, that could have been devastating to the water quality and the wildlife there. And so we have an easement with the landowner there. It's part of a much larger ranch, but we have a 160-acre easement on the most crucial part. And we also own 160 acres on McCoy Creek, and it, which is a feeder to the South Fork of the Eel River. And that stream, we own almost a mile of coho spawning habitat, and we mm-hmm. protect that. And so that, I think, is the gist of it. I think that's six properties. And, of course, the main thing that we do that most people know us for right now is the work at the Smith River Estuary, and we are trying to diminish pesticide use there, the pesticides are used on the Easterlily fields. And we were talking before, and I mentioned to you that we are actually, as an organization, attempting to transition away from that being our most important campaign to something that we just do basically as a support group for other organizations, because it has been so taxing to our organization, and I could go into detail about that. There's a lot going on in that realm, but we are trying to get back to our land trust roots.
Right, so you want to start working more towards land trust and land conservancy work and start to hand off the pesticide aspect to other organizations?
Yes, and there are several other organizations that have shown very strong interest through the years to what is a national issue, really, the Smith River being the wildest and cleanest river on the west coast of the United States.
It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, and really well protected for about well over 90% of the river is protected. 83% of it is in state and federal hands.
That's incredible. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, and just a spectacularly clean river with excellent salmonid habitat.
That's probably why it's so beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, it just didn't have the rampaging impacts that all the other rivers. I was just on the Van Dusen yesterday, and beautiful river, but so trashed from the mouth way upriver all the way to Grizzly Creek State Park.
It gets a lot of use also.
It gets a lot of use, and the logging there was so heavy, and it was so fragile. Those soils were not meant to have all the trees taken off with those great oxbows wrapping around what were the isthmuses of the flat isthmuses of massive trees. All that was removed, all the streamside trees were removed, and the sediment and woody debris that came down and scoured that stream will have an impact there for hundreds of years. So the Smith, you know, didn't have the impacts like the Klamath, the Eel, the Van Dusen, even the Trinity, although the Trinity less so than a lot of rivers. And so we see the estuary, of course, as being crucial. And we know that now, especially with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife's excellent wildlife surveys of coho salmon on the Smith that show that the engine of the Smith River coho production is Mill Creek. But most of those juveniles float downstream, and they will rear for a year in the estuary and into these little streams that flow through these easterlily fields where the easterlily farmers use 300,000 pounds of highly toxic fish-killing pesticides every year there. And the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board recently found 17 pesticides in those surface waters and 10 instances of chronic or acute reproductive toxicity of the salmonid food chain. So there's a crisis, actually, in the estuary. And we have been addressing this now for 14 years. 3 years before that, even with Smith River Project, which I founded in 1999. And we feel like there's not much we can do going forward except litigation or a national boycott. And we're not going to launch either of those mechanisms. Number one, we're a land trust. We own property. It's a financial risk. But also, we work in Del Norte County, and we support farmers, which is the irony here. There's a huge organic ranch adjacent to the lily field, and we support that operation. So we're in a bit of a bind because we want to support the lily growers as well. And in fact, we've met with them. Last year, we met with them three times. They were good meetings. They kind of diminished, I think, a lot of the fear of the other, you know, when you meet with somebody.
Right.
We understand better now their position, even though we did understand their farmers are trying to make it. They're not getting rich. We know that. And it's not easy to pull this off, you know, this annual lily harvest where they produce 100% of the Easter lily bulbs that are produced for North American consumption. So we don't want to throw a massive economic wrench into one of the last viable resource industries in Del Norte County. What we want is for the lily growers to transition to IPM, biodynamic, eventually organic. And we actually researched funding mechanisms for them to do that. And we talked to Jared Huffman, who said if we got an agreement with them, that he would help find funding for transitioning. And so we're hoping that's the route they go. We are very frustrated with the State Water Board, which found the 17 pesticides and the 10 instances of reproductive toxicity in the salmonid food chain and said, well, you know, this isn't really anything we can do anything about because it's primarily due to the water's lack of hardness, this toxicity. And every attorney and water quality scientist we've shown this to, about a half dozen total, have just collectively rolled their eyes. So they're dropping the ball. We don't know if they will continue to. But we feel that if the Water Board in particular is not going to do anything, and we're hoping that State Fish and Wild or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and State Fish and Wildlife will do something legally to protect fish in the stream and the people of Smith River, the town, then, you know, again, our only recourses are to throw an economic bombshell into the county, and we're not willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Why are the farmers not transitioning to those other perhaps things that they can use in place of pesticides?
Well, you know, they make a pretty good argument for why it's difficult. We don't believe that the argument is necessarily means that they shouldn't change, because their practices can harm and perhaps even destroy protected salmon in the Smith River, but we understand their bind. So one of the farmers put it to me this way. He said, have you ever tried to grow garlic in the same bed year after year? Eventually it doesn't work. You have too many, I don't know what it is, but what's interesting about that is that my garlic crop had just failed when we had this conversation.
That's really ironic.
It is. And, you know, of course, I don't use any chemicals or whatever, and you need to move it around. So they do rotate, but they don't have enough land that's viable, good draining land in the right places to rotate enough. And so they use these massive pesticides and nutrient applications to make up for the natural processes that the greater rotation would have. That is the way, basically, it was explained to me. And if he was here, he could do a much better job of explaining it. So I understand their dilemma. However, I don't understand why anyone would continue to produce a crop like that if it meant that it could, you know, do away with California's healthiest fishery. And the numbers are diminishing on the Smith very slowly, much more slowly than in other streams. But if we look at coho salmon, which is going through an extinction process from south to north in California, when you get to the Smith River, the viability of the coho on the Smith is higher than anywhere else, yet it is diminishing as well, new state Fish and Wildlife Surveys are showing. And so, again, very difficult. They're not getting rich. It's an industry they've known for generations in Smith River for more than 100 years. And I completely empathize. That is why we spent our resources, you know, time and money to research funding where they could transition or find something else, even another crop. And there are a couple of lily growers that are looking at other crops and actually are doing other crops. One of the lily growers is also doing organic beef on lands that they've taken out of lily production. And we support that. A lot of people don't like the beef industry, but it's certainly much better than pesticides on these lily farms.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
So you mentioned also a restoration project happening on the, was it the South Fork of the Smith?
Yes. Yeah. That has been ongoing for about 6 years. And we have really gained traction with the U.S. Natural Resource Conservation Service out of Eureka, but also Del Norte County. The work has been excellent, I would say. We have restored about 25 acres of forest, and we're doing another 77 acres as we speak over the next 3 years. And we're also replacing failing culverts on a Blue Line Creek with a bridge. And so we have a $200,000 contract. The landowners, in cooperation with us, we manage the property and have an easement on it. And so with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, they provided that funding. And the landowner provides matching funding. And we go in and do this excellent work. And what's wonderful about it is that this property is surrounded on 3.5 sides by the Smith River National Recreation Area, which has similar projects, forest restoration, stream restoration, all around. So this is a very large ecosystem-based model. And what's great about the property is this sits right in the middle of all of their projects.
And lots of connectivity happening, lots of, like you're saying, kind of connecting all those restoration projects together.
Exactly. Like there would be a hole in the middle of their work if we weren't doing it on this property. And this property is also quite rare. It has large natural meadows. It has a large Oregon white oak grove and 200-year-old trees, very unusual in the area. It's got the easternmost redwoods on the Smith River, and it has healthy Port Orford cedar. It's not affected by the root rot, and western red cedar, and great maple trees, and it's an extraordinary piece right on the river. So our work there goes a long way, and it's really a model for where we want to take the organization, and have taken the organization, but would have to a much greater extent if we hadn't been expending so much time and money on the estuary. And so again, we are transitioning toward doing less at the estuary. And I think the lily growers will be happy to hear that, and maybe some of our supporters will not. But I, when we announced this recent round of restoration funding, a lot of people got in touch with us and thanked us and said, we understand that that's really the route here on the North Coast. There, you have to oppose the bad stuff. We've been doing that for 14 years. And but to move forward with what's positive and what works and what everyone can agree on, landowners, Republicans, Democrats, agency people, environmentalists, that's been the goal the whole way, and that's what we've seen work really well with our organization.
Are you working with any nonprofits that will take up the project on the estuary?
Yes, we have talked with several, and there are two right now that are looking at it quite seriously, independent of us. We, you know, they got information off our website. They looked at it. There was also a major organic food group in the country that was discussing launching a boycott. They have a boycott against Ben and Jerry's and other major food producers, and we talked them out of that for right now. You know, it sounds ironic, but again, number one, whether it works or not, it would completely erode the ability of people to work cooperatively in Del Norte County, and we'll feel that that is a much stronger way to move forward in that county. It's very much landowner controlled, with the exception, of course, the national and state properties. But in terms of the lower river and the private properties there, you have to work with landowners. And we also don't feel that an economic monkey wrench in Del Norte County would be productive, that something negative would come of that, that you can't anticipate because it's so fragile there. And so we asked them not to do the boycott. And we asked another group not to do litigation. Now, whether or not somebody sues the water board for their malfeasance and dropping the ball completely on this issue, it wouldn't be us, but I could see it happening because there are groups that sue water for over water up and down the West Coast. Right. But we would not be involved.
So you have a benefit coming up on Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
The Siskiyou Land Conservancy benefit.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
At the Arcata Playhouse, correct?
Yes, yeah. This Saturday, Arcata Playhouse, 7:30. Joanne Rand, who's also my wife, but more so to the world, is a fantastic singer-songwriter, performer, will be there with her full band, which is a really rare treat.
Rob Diggins and Pete Damolin and Tim Randles.
Yes, mm-hmm. Three of the best players in the county in their own right, playing with Joanne, who's one of the finest performers who's ever lived here, I think, and of course I'm biased.
And she's going to be performing on my show tomorrow at 10:30, and
oh,
I believe
that's great.
She's coming in with Tim or Rob.
Could be. Yes, I know. We're kind of like in separate worlds a little bit, and then occasionally we come together and like we're doing this together.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. So it's going to be a great show. I'm going to do a visual presentation, kind of a celebration of spring and our place, you know, talk a little bit about our work, but also just kind of take people through these wonderful watersheds and mountainscapes and oceanscapes that we have here and celebrate that, which we've done many times. We've often had a celebration of spring as an organization. And Pete Damolin will be playing his solo guitar behind the images and the talking, which I'm very excited about. Overall, I think it's just going to be a wonderful night. And at the Playhouse, which is just such a great institution that has been created for our communities here.
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful spot.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so, once again, that's 8 p.m. on Saturday night. Make sure to go
7:30.
At 7:30?
Yes, we're starting a little early than most things start because we have this presentation. There will also be a young woman who will play a couple songs who's a high school senior, who's Rob Diggins' daughter, who's just fantastic.
Yeah, they're in the band Moon Milkshake.
Exactly.
Correct?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, they've been on here to play before.
Right. And yeah. So, you know, the young talent, the young people with their vision and heart, we have a teenager ourselves, and we see the importance of bringing them forward into the fold of our communities. And because we're not going to be around forever, and also they have great ideas and great visions. So
and they just performed during the March for Our Lives.
That's right.
Saturday
yes.
as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. Awesome!
Yeah, they've been all over the place.
That's
They're
great.
Really great,
yeah.
talented young women in that.
Yes,
band.
Yeah. So that'll be wonderful. The whole night. I mean, really looking forward to it. So hopefully people will come out.
Okay, so Arcata Playhouse coming up at 7:30 on Saturday night. And make sure to be there.
Yes.
And you can go to arcataplayhouse.org for more information.
Right. Or Siskiyou Land Conservancy.
Siskiyouland.org or joannranmusic.com.
So you can go to many different places.
Many different places. Google it, as they say.
Thanks for coming in, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you all. It's really great to be here. Love K-Hum and NEC and Coastal Currents. It's really a pleasure. Thank you.
And once again, that's Greg King, Executive Director of the Siskiyou Land Conservancy. And thanks so much, as always,
Annie. Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Do we already know who's coming in next week?
Yes, we do. Someone from the North Coast Stormwater Coalition. So I've worked with NCSC in the past for our Adopt-A-Block program. They're going to come in, talk about stormwater issues and runoff and the work their organization does and things like that. And like I said, I work with them with Adopt-A-Block, just collaborating on how to prevent stormwater or bring about stormwater awareness and prevent runoff and litter and things like that. So really interesting group, and they'll be joining us next Wednesday.
Oh, that's really wonderful. That'll be really neat. And Coastal Currents happens every single Wednesday at noon, and it is brought to you by Cocotat, who has been making paddle sports apparel and gear in Arcata, California since 1971. We're going to go ahead and take a short break, and then we'll get back into the music here in just a little bit. We'll actually be talking about the Folklife Festival, so stick around. You're listening to K-Hum.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search K-Hum in iTunes.